Mark?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to open us tonight?
Yep, I can do that.
Thank
you. Good evening, everybody. This is the Judicial Call. It is April 6th, 2025. David Justice is going to give a talk tonight about E Pluribus Unum. That'll be interesting. And I'll go ahead and open up in prayer. Creator God, thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, our states, and our nation. Thank you for all who are standing up for truth, justice, and liberty throughout America and beyond. In the name of Jesus, strengthen us in thought, word, and deed, while weakening the enemies that try to cause us to surrender by deceit. Let your holy light shine upon us, and by your grace, make us whole and useful to you in this fight to take back our republic and our nation. We pray the protection of our true military and salt for Psalms 91 that states in part, "For Jehovah is my refuge, I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How can any evil overtake me or any plague come near? For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go." End quote. And we pray the action of Psalm 75 over the American people. That, in part, says, "How we thank you, Lord, your mighty miracles give proof that you care. Yes, the Lord replies, and when I am ready, I will punish the wicked. Through the earth, though the earth shakes, and all its people live in turmoil, yet its pillars are firm, for I have set them in place." So we pray the justice of Psalm 82 over our courts, that we may have the justice that our Lord delights in. And along with justice, we most of all pray for truth to prevail throughout this land. So God save the children, and God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Tonight, this evening, is April 6th. In the year of our Lord, 2025, you'll find that phrase "in the year of our Lord" written on a lot of legal congressional documents that were passed into law, and you'll still find them there in some certain executive orders. This nation is founded with an understanding that we're in the year 2025, in the year of our Lord. There was a time when kingdoms were measured from the death of the last king. So there would be a reference made to the new king in the year of our king, two, or whatever year that was, in reference to the new king. It wasn't a very good way to date things, because you had four or five kings die in the course of 100 years, and it really screwed things up. So, of course, the calendar was changed, consolidated into distinguishing the year of our master, the year of our Lord, the year of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which I've always found was interesting, that we're in the year 2025. What that's exactly relative to, whether it's to his birth or to his death, I don't know. But they want to change that to Common Era, or BCE, before Common Era. But that's not the way it's always been. E Pluribus Unum, which means out of many one, is the motto of the United States. And every coin in your pocket, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, silver dollars, every coin of the United States has on it the phrase E Pluribus Unum. It literally means out of many one. It was proposed in 1776 by Pierre Eugène de Simitelli. It is a function of the Great Seal of the United States. It reflects the idea of unity. Back in the day, in 1776, 13 colonies came together to form a single nation, and it's been on the United States currency and Federal Reserve notes ever since, symbolizing, and this one makes me cough, but I'm going to say it so that we know what we're up against, symbolizing the melting pot of cultures, ideas, and people that define the country. Now, who said that? Because that's certainly not what the original intent was. In about the year 1908, there was a gentleman decided he wanted to put on a play. He was a Zionist Jew. He came to America in 1908 and did a play where he commandeered, and I'm going to say commandeered because that's exactly what he did, the phrase, E Pluribus Unum. And in the course of his play, he captured, if you will, the phrase and turned it into a safe phrase by distinguishing. It was the first time that the term melting pot had ever been used in American history, in 1908. Israel Zangwill is his name. The name of the play is The Melting Pot. He wrote about America as a crucible blending races and nations. Scholars like Philip Gleason, American Quarterly, in 1964, tie it back to E Pluribus Unum, arguing the motto's many into one naturally fits a vibe of diverse origins fusing into a single identity. And even today, when you go to the U.S. State Department and Library of Congress, you'll see that it echoes this idea, calling it a nod to cultural unity. Now, the reason that that phrase has been commandeered is because we don't even understand in our churches. We don't even understand what unity means inside Christianity. You know, there's 40,000 different Christian denominations on this planet, and each one of them is right. You go ask them, and they'll tell you. Write about their projection onto Scripture about how they interpret one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, in all, and in us all. And they have their understanding of what Yeshua meant at the Last Supper when he said, "May they be one as we are one, I and you and they and me. May we all be one." You know, this idea out of many, one, we don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously in our country. We don't take it seriously in our churches. We don't take it seriously. Well, it's just a catchphrase, you know. It means whatever the latest trend says that it means. I disagree. It is the crux of everything. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. First commandment. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And upon these rest all the law and the commandments. God, our Father, the Creator, is one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one. And to the degree that we're not in alignment with that one is the degree that we're in dissonance to the one. Those of you that play instruments, music, sing, whatever, you know what it means to be dissonant. It means to be out of tune. It means to be even a slightly out of tune. You can hear a wobble inside the dissonant sound. Resonance is when you're in alignment with the frequency. And so, in using it as a metaphor, we'll say that the frequency of our Father is one. It's one frequency. It's a sound that we all resonate with when we're in the one. And when we're not in the one, we're dissonant too. And that dissonance I'm going to call that sin. When we're out of the will of the Father, we're in dissonance and we're in sin. When we're in the will of the Father, we resonate with the oneness of our Father, and inside that oneness, all things are possible for those who believe. Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we're walking in that unity, the body, a multi-membered, I can't say to the hand because you're not an eye, I don't need you. We all have a special dispensation, if you will, a special unique quality, a special something that makes us a member of the body in our own unique way. And though the body may be as diverse as the number of cells that exist that comprise the human body, it's just one body, and each one's got a different function. And that's the diversity. The diversity is how we operate to be at one with the Father and one with each other, and that's the idea of E Pluribus Unum. We look back at the founding documents, and we distinguish that we're one nation under God. Of course, that comes from the Pledge of Allegiance. It doesn't come from the Declaration of Independence, but the Declaration of Independence, as I've distinguished it a couple of calls back, distinguishes that in America, it was held to be self-evident truth that all men are endowed by the Creator with certain, sure, tangible, comprehensible, certain, absolute, certain. Creator endows us with certain unalienable rights. That among, and there's that word among, not limited to, but among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Among. All right, so if we're in the body, which, by the way, here's an aside, a judge, a senator by the name of John Randolph Tucker. I'm going to have everybody write this book down and go look it up online. John Randolph Tucker. Name of the book is The Constitution of the United States. It was compiled in 1899. And in this book, he distinguishes what I'm telling you. I'm not making this up. I'm just the messenger. I'm the reporter. And these ideas that I'm sharing with you were found in his book. But they're not in his book. They're not true because they're in his book. They're in his book because they're true. Just like scriptures. It's not because it's in the Bible that it's true. I said that backwards. It's not true because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it's true. So truth, here's where we've gone off base in America, is we entered into a time of subjective arbitrary relativism. Everyone is right in their own eyes. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Everybody believes that they have the truth, and so truth is subjectively relative. And this is the paradigm that has been handed to us. It's the one that we inherited. Okay, it is what it is. It's just the way it is, and that's what we've got to fight back against. I've mentioned 5G warfare. Anybody that's read the book on 5G warfare, it's what the CIA uses against us, has been using against the American people since the 1940s. It's a mind game. It's a mental warfare, and the objective was to commandeer our minds so they could use it against us. Our public education system has been a public indoctrination system. They've been churning out drones. We've been being misled. It was General Mike Flynn that wrote the book recently called 5G Warfare. If you haven't read it, I recommend you get a hold of that book so that you can actually see that the weapons of their warfare are not carnal but spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual. So we're dealing with a war, if you will, in the heavenlies, where evil and good are fighting against each other for preeminence inside of American law. If we don't know the foundation of American law, then we're lost already. We've lost the battle already. But if you're on this phone call, I've got a pretty good hunch that you're seeing that this nation was founded on law and order. It was founded on principles. Principles that arguably have been tried and tested, but not necessarily. You know, the first one that proposed these ideas, you know, they murdered him, our master king, Big Brother, King of Kings, went up against the Sanhedrin, against the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, and he exposed them. He said, you know, you guys sit in Moses' seat, but you don't do a thing, he said. You travel over land and sea and you make a convert, but when you convert him, you make him twice the son of hell as you. He challenged the authorities of the day with principles of the kingdom of God, principles that are written on our hearts and in our minds. And this is the new covenant. The principles of law and order are written on our hearts and in our minds. No more will a man say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the richest to the poorest. America is founded on that. America is founded on the gospel. And the gospel is founded on law. It's established on order. And we can find that order if we go back to Moses. There was a certain order. By the time it got to Yeshua, he embodied what Moses was talking about inside the law. They didn't recognize that the Messiah is the fulfillment of the law. And here in America today, E Pluribus Unum is representative of the many as one, a plurality, a diversity, a diversified body, but with one singular sovereign body politic. And now I'm referencing the 1899 John Randolph Tucker Constitution. The people in America are sovereign, and this is what is the most important thing for us to get our minds around, because once we get our minds around this, there's no stopping us. America was founded on the idea that just because a king or a senator sits in a position of authority doesn't mean that they are an authority. I had a police officer rise up against me once. He said, I am the law. And I said, with all due respect, no, you're not. You're a police officer who enforces the law. The law, you are not the law. So you cannot embody that law. Now, you can write me a ticket, but that doesn't mean that you are the law. And he respectfully came off his position. I've also had the privilege of explaining that to a judge once when he was outraged that I was explaining the Constitution and how it worked, when I distinguished that you don't give me rights. You're not the source of my rights. You have limitations on your power. The Bill of Rights is a bill of limitations, and it's a limitation on your power. The limitations are on your power are because the people delegated power to the government and reserved to themselves the sovereignty. Now, there's an important distinction, okay? The people are sovereign. The government is not. The government has been delegated with power from the sovereign, which is the people. But if the people are broken down into division and quarreling and everybody's vying, and it's called a democracy where the majority, three wolves and two sheep get to decide on what they're having for dinner tonight, democracy says the wolves are going to eat the sheep. There's your democracy. That's not what America is. America only works inside the idea of E Pluribus Unum, where we're all moving in the same direction. Like, we're not sitting in a rowboat in the middle of a lake, you know, everybody just moving their oars whatever direction they want to. We're paralyzed, which is where America's at today. We're paralyzed. People are confused. They don't understand what's going on. And there's a lot of scared people. A lot of scared people. And they should be scared because we're in a really precarious position right now. We may be looking at the end of America right now. We may be at the precipice of the fall because the house is divided against itself. And to whatever degree the house is divided against itself, it's not going to stand. It was Jesus that summed that up. America didn't stand through the Civil War. It was a nation divided against itself. 600,000 men died. That's not even including how many were maimed and how many families were impacted. Widows and orphans. America went to hell. And now we're facing another something like that. And somebody better come up with an understanding so that if this thing falls apart, there will be some light shining in the darkness. And I'd like to believe that that's who we are. Study to show thyself approved, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is this: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Anything less than that is not America. Anything less than that is not the kingdom of heaven. Anything less than that is not our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know why Israel and Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, do you know why they were dispersed, why they were clobbered? Committing adultery and fornication with the other nations of the world. Now, I always thought that was interesting until I looked up the definition of commerce one day and came to an understanding that one of the definitions of commerce is sexual intercourse. Traffic is commerce. Israel was engaged in trafficking and fornicating with kings of the earth. You've heard that scripture. In the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon commits fornication in harlots. She's the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She's committing fornications with the kings of the earth. You know, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Scripture is very simple. When you finally get it, the adultery of a nation occurs when a nation enters into, as George Washington put it, intercourse with foreign countries. And when we enter into all these foreign alliances, it compromises our integrity. It compromises our unity, because now we've entered into compromises. And these compromises are a form of adultery, because when you take the truth and you mix a narrative into a truth, then it's an adulterated truth. It's no longer a virgin truth. It's now adulterated truth. Israel was given the truth. They ran into the world, and they couldn't wait to commit adultery with it. America was given the truth, but she's become a narcissistic whore. No different than Israel. And the institution of Christianity has become the same thing. She's become as much a narcissistic whore as Israel was back in the day. Why is it that when someone gets the mantle to be the representative of our Father on earth, they somehow that goes to their head inside this arrogant, narcissistic power trip? Like, for example, the Pope. You know, there was a time when Protestant, I mean, they protested the idea of the Vatican. They objected to an idea of a hierarchy on the planet, that we had to go through to access our Father. That's not what the gospel taught. Messiah demonstrated to us that by revelation, for example, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. What was the context of that? Jesus was saying, well, who do the people say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Messiah said, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, what? The rock of the revelation that was just given to him, that he spoke aloud, upon this rock I will build my church. And so the revelation that comes to us, when we distinguish the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the truth, and when we recognize that the truth is that we are one people, we are one body, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father, one God. One, not two. This idea of dualism comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Getting back to our founding, America is founded on this idea. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm going to say it till I die because it's true. I know it's true because I've tested it. I've poked it. I've prodded it. I test drove it. America is founded on the ideology, on the philosophy, on the scripture, and it's not a religious idea. It's a secular idea. It's not religious. Either Jesus existed or he didn't. He didn't come to establish a religion. He came to set us free. He came to make certain distinctions that got him killed. When he pointed to the hypocrisy of the people, of the ruling class of the people, the same thing that Trump is doing today, and they're all outraged. Oh my God. We're corrupt, and now we're being exposed. So they wanted to kill. They did kill the Messiah. But the death that he endured only lasted for a few days because he demonstrated the power of eternal life. He demonstrated that it's possible to conquer everything up to and including death itself. And the last enemy is death, and it's on the table for destruction. It's part of the mission. It's part of our understanding is to distinguish who we are. Yeshua said, the things that I do, you will do also, and greater things will you do. But we're wallowing around like mere men, as Paul distinguished, you know. We want to argue, and we want to be right, and we want to argue about our point of view being right. And you know, look at the result. The result is we've got a divided church that's so divided it's no longer the church. I'm sorry, I can't nod that, yeah, that's the church. No, because the church isn't divided. See, the church isn't divided. The church is. The kingdom of heaven isn't divided. It just is. Our Father is not divided. It just is. And so when we find our way to E Pluribus Unum, we have to come through the door, which is Christ, and understand that in America, We are the light of on the hill. We are the light of the world, and that only light of the world that I can find in history is the body of Christ. Light of the world, salt of the earth. E Pluribus Unum distinguishes that at the foundation. If you ever are even tempted to forget that, look at a coin in your pocket. It's a formula, because the other word on the coin is liberty. You can't have liberty outside the body of Christ. You can't. Because to the degree that we abdicate liberty, to the degree that we abdicate personal responsibility and self-government, to whatever degree we do that, well, nature abhors a vacuum, and here comes the powers of the earth. They can't wait to come in with their band-aid. We just need to pass another law for that. We need to pass another law for that, and then the law they passed this week cures the defect in the law last week, and all of a sudden we're living in a day when there's so many laws, there's so much weight that we can't bear it. There's so much bureaucracy. We don't know what freedom is. We think we know what freedom is. We mouth empty words about what we think it is, but that's not that, because freedom is what Messiah walked in. He was free. And so were his apostles. And they took that freedom and they gave of themselves to the planet to lead the planet out of its hypnosis. They gave themselves to reveal and expose and show the world what the truth actually is. Remember, we're all fallen. We were fallen. Eve went and ate that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, gave it to Adam, and he ate too. And the next thing you know, they're all embarrassed because they're naked. Well, they had it all. They had it all. And somehow they were seduced, or at least Eve was, and Adam may have just been going along to get along, but Eve was seduced into believing that she didn't have it all when she had it all. There was a tree of life right over there, and they were walking with our Father in the garden. They had it all. But she got tricked inside of a narrative to believe there was more. So what did she do? She took a bit. She thought there would be more, and the rest is history. And isn't that what we do? We're seduced thinking there's more, and so we're always looking, always perceiving, but never understanding. You know, knowing who we are, it was Sun Tzu that said this, if you know who you are, but you don't know who your enemy is, you're going to lose every battle. If you know who you are, did I say that right? Let me start over again. If you know who you are, but you don't know who your enemy is, you're going to lose every battle. If you don't know who you are, but you know who the enemy is, you're going to lose every battle. You know, there's a lot of talk about what happened, you know. Where did this thing go wrong? Well, I could probably show you 100 different ways this thing went sideways before the ink was even dry on the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. So it doesn't really matter how we got here. What matters is that we're here. And that we're here is more significant than the how we got here. But here's how we figure out how we got here. Again, if we know ourselves but don't know our enemy, we're going to lose every battle. If we don't know ourselves but know our enemy, we're going to lose every battle. We have to know ourselves, and we have to know our enemy. Both. We have to know both, and we'll never lose a battle. So knowing ourselves is first and foremost important, and knowing that as the E Pluribus Unum, we are the body of Christ. And inside that relationship, that covenant relationship, which America is founded on a covenant, we'll go all the way back to 1620 in Pilgrim Rock and follow that forward. America's founding families were of the belief that they were setting up the kingdom of heaven on earth. They thought America was the new Israel. And so they were moving away from a dictatorial, mind-controlled psyop where the church had infiltrated their minds and said, you shall not have freedom of thought. You will think this way because we get to dictate what Scripture says. And the Protestants didn't like that. So they rose up eventually the Church of England even threw off the Catholic Church. I mean, it was trendy back in the day, but then the Church of England became just as much of a tyrant dictator as the Catholic Church back in the day. And so the people were being murdered by the regime, the church and state communion, the harlotry, the adultery going on between king and priests back in the day. And the Puritans thought that they could purify it if they just obeyed Romans 13. And the separatists reached a place where they said, no, we got to get out of here. This place is killing us. So they came over to America for what? To pursue the kingdom of heaven on earth. That idea, you know, there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And how interesting that we might have to reach the precipice of our destruction on this planet for us to realize. Because I'm of the school of thought. I'm one of these non-rapturists. Now, we're going through this thing. We're going through this. The question is not whether, but how. And I don't know about you, but I plan on going through this thing successfully. And I know the only way to go through this successfully is inside of a relationship with our Father, being led by the Holy Spirit with which I'm endowed, understanding that my brothers and sisters in the sovereign body politic are sovereign here in America. And we have a unique system of government on this planet in that we're the only one that thinks like this. We're the only ones with this kind of foundation. And if we lose this, well, we're not going to lose it. But I wouldn't even want to imagine how great the darkness would be if that light goes out. Yeshua said it. If the light goes out, oh my. If America's light goes out, no, the America's light won't go out. Because I, for one, am here to promote the light and to promote the principles of law and order and communion and covenant with our Father. And I know the principles at work are tending toward victory, not defeat. Because when I read Scripture in the book of Revelation, I see it as a glorious time of victory. I look right past the trials and the tribulations, which, by the way, Yeshua promised we'd have if we followed him. With much grief we enter into the kingdom. So we know the trials and tribulations are going to be there. Tribulation is nothing more than, like, you know, when the wheat gets tribulated, that's when the chaff gets knocked away from the grain. And so the tribulation is a time for testing and causing us to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Because that's the objective. So we're followers of Christ, in Christ, and in America, that's the sovereign body politic. That's, you know, I've been accused of being part of a white supremacist group of sovereign citizens. You know, that's the stupidest thing. the ignorance that would speak that absolute nonsense. It's gaslighting. They, whose agenda is a Zionist globalist system based upon the love of money, which is the root of all evil, where they have total control over everything you think, say, and do, they have to tear down its opposition, which is us, the King of Kings. And we're the small k in the equation of King of Kings. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, a royal nation, a holy priesthood. Or was it a holy priesthood, a royal nation? I don't know, but you know what? It's all one. Kings and priests. And to those of us that overcome the world, we'll be given the right to sit with our brother in the throne, who is seated with his Father, our Father, in the throne. These, you know, either these, okay, these are not religious ideas, folks. And to come from a place where they are is to reduce Scripture, is to reduce the ideas and the principles that Messiah spoke and did and performed, to reduce those to something that's arguable. Or, well, you know, that's just your religious point of view. And you know what? There's 40,000 different religious denominations out there that have adopted that kind of mindset. Divided house. A divided house. I mean, come on. That's bad optics, folks. It's really bad optics to be one nation under God and be infighting against ourselves back and forth. You know, when in fact the Messiah, okay, well here, now I'm going to counter. Here, let's reconcile this one. Jesus said, don't think I've come to bring peace on earth but a sword. From now on, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and all of that, you know. So did Jesus come to bring unity or did he come to bring a sword? Well, it depends. If you're in the body, the sword he brings cuts away the dross. Iron sharpens iron. But if you're out of the body and you're living inside of a narrative and you come up against the truth, well, if you have a need to be right and you're not really interested in the truth, you're going to defend your narrative and there's going to be division. But if we're actually walking in the truth and we're taking Scripture at its face and we're really trying on the ideas that, you know, kingdom of heaven is at hand and it's a here and now thing, it's not a future tense thing, it's always been at hand, it's always been here. And if we actually operate inside E Pluribus Unum, it's not a future thing, it's a now thing, always has been. If we understand that E Pluribus Unum is the sovereign in this country and the government's our servant, now and when the government rises up against the sovereign, we know that it's the one committing the coup d'etat against the people. Only treason can only be committed against the people, and in this case, God. In this case, the king. In this case, the body of Christ. And to the degree that we are and the Father are one, we're operating as the sovereign body politic in covenant with the Creator, our Father. And you know what? We grossly underestimate ourselves. We grossly underestimate the power of our Father. And if there's any fear in us right now, it's because we're not understanding who we are and how powerful of a people we are. You know, the church was infiltrated a long, long time ago. I like to say this, you know, when Christ rose from the dead, you know, and he's walking around, you know, Pharisees immediately went into damage control. First thing they did is tell the guards, we'll lie about it, you know. So they went into damage control. Why? Because if the word was to get out as to who we are, and the firstborn of many actually rose from the dead after having demonstrated the hypocrisy of the powers of the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness, which is our enemy. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness on this planet. That's the enemy. And they're still at it. Nothing has changed, whether it be economic, social, religious, political, educational, medical. Every one of them has been corrupted to keep us away from our true capacity, which is members of the sovereign body politic, the E Pluribus Unum. We are one. One. And if we're truly united, no weapon forged by man can prevail against us. And you can throw narrative after narrative at us. You know what? Narrative's not our kryptonite. Truth is narrative's kryptonite. Let me say that one more time. Somebody's walking in a narrative and you throw a truth at them and they melt down. Well, truth is kryptonite relative to a narrative. But truth has no kryptonite except fear. Fear. If we're walking around because we have an incomplete knowledge of who we are and who the enemy is and what we're capable of, and we're a little bit fearful, it's that to that degree we are succumbing to kryptonite. Because kryptonite inside of a body is doubt, fear, and disbelief. I think it was Morpheus who said that to Neo in the Matrix. You got to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, disbelief. Next scene, Morpheus is jumping over a building onto another building. You know what? That's possible. Yeshua walked on water, and we forget that Peter walked on water too. We forget that Peter raised the dead too also. We forget that Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do. He didn't say you might do them if you get your head right. He said, you shall do them. Because when we're walking in the capacity as his body of Christ, again, we are the temple of God. We're the, let me repeat that. We're the temple of God. When Messiah died on that stake, the curtain was open to the holiest of holies, showing now that we have direct access, and that one has, we now participate in that ominous being. That magnificence is what America is founded on, and we forgot. And maybe we never even knew it. Maybe it's never even been realized. And I'm of the school of thought that it's not been realized. Immediately, you know, Governor Morris, it took money to fight that war, the Revolutionary War. Governor Morris, which was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he put up $1 million back in the day, which is a lot of money back in the day. And he's the only one that didn't lose all of his fortune. But he was operating from the place that, you know what, the economy of the kingdom dictates that I give this money to fight this war. And so he did. He relinquished his large sum of money to procure provisions to fight that thing. But when money becomes the why, when the central bank sets up shop right after the Revolutionary War and infiltrates into this country and takes over the money, Andrew Jackson comes along in the 1830s and said, we're not doing that anymore. And he kills the bank. Civil War comes along. Bank gets a foothold again. 1913, here's the private banking system again. And now here we are again. This banking system's about to collapse. But I do think Trump has a plan. It's going to be interesting to watch it. But my trust is not in Trump. My trust is in our Father. And if, you know, if our Father can use a donkey to restrain the madness of a prophet, then he can certainly use Donald Trump to accomplish great and majestic things in the name of truth. But still, we don't put our trust in Trump. We pray for Trump. We pray that he would have wisdom. We pray that he would have courage and that he's protected. And we pray that this woman, Paula White, or whatever her name is, we didn't talk about God can work through anything. Oh, that's a rough one. But all things work together for good that for those that are called. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Okay, so we're in one of those all things right now. We're in one of those all things. We're in one of those all things. And so as we sit at the precipice of what appears maybe the collapse of America, because the body is going to come together, because it is coming together. It is. And I know it is. You know what it is? Because if I'm not one of those guys, I'm looking for them because I want to hang out with them. And that's the attitude we should all have. If we're not one of them, I know some people on this call, you're probably one of them. And if you're not, go find them. Those are the people we want to gravitate toward. Those are the people we want to build with. Everybody else is all caught up in their little narcissistic little fiefdoms, their little kingdoms of narrative. Knock the dust off your feet. Leave them alone. They're blind guides. And if the blind follow the blind, they all fall under the pit. So right now, our objective is to stand with Christ, to stand with the oneness of our Father, the Holy Spirit, and distinguish that relationship and that covenant and walk therein and trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And do not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Because America is founded on the idea of the many as one. And there is only one place in the history of the world where that idea has become political, and that was when the Messiah walked the earth and He distinguished His apostles at the Last Supper as being one. May they be one as we are one, I and you and they and me, that we may all be one. He said, you're in the world but not of the world. All right, so America is founded on some very metaphysical principles, very spiritual, not religious, but actual truth. And we may not understand it, but we're coming into an understanding as He leads us out of temptation and deliver us from evil, because that's been our prayer. And as we pledge our allegiance to one nation under God, indivisible, you know, it's a positive affirmation, so we keep on saying it. And we trust that the evil, the love of money, the corruption, the deceit, the fraud, the human trafficking going on this planet, we pray that all of that is exposed. And we pray that we will be ready to be what we've been called to be, because that time is at hand. And the world is in complete disarray. But the kingdom of heaven is one nation under God. And we are the E Pluribus Unum. Thank you for letting me share that. I hope that I've ruffled a few feathers, and hopefully for the good and not the bad. But if I've been kryptonite, you better check your narrative. And one more thing. I reserve the right to be wrong, to change my mind. If somebody has a better understanding and maybe I said something wrong or spoke wrong, you know, I am amenable to rebuke, teaching, and correction from those that claim to be my brothers and sisters in the body. Because you know what? I don't take offense because somebody disagrees with me. I pull up a chair and say, let me hear you out. Let me hear what you got. I want to hear it. Because you know what? If your idea is better than mine, or more scriptural, or you know, if it resonates better, I want to adopt it. And then I've got some self-examination to do, and you know, to rearrange some things in my belief system. And you know what? That's the nature of what repentance is, changing the way we believe. So tonight we want to change our way to believe. We want to change our way of believing from this to this. We are not a bunch of worms. We are not filthy minstrel rags. We are co-heirs with Christ through the throne of our Father, and that throne is in our hearts and in our minds. And that temple is our body. And individually and collectively, we are co-heirs and co-sovereigns inside the body politic of American jurisprudence. We are the sovereign. And that, folks, is what I wanted to talk about tonight on the E Pluribus Unum. And Mark, I'm going to shut up.
Well, thanks, David. That's exactly what I needed to hear tonight, and probably others as well. Would you like to take questions tonight?
I always hesitate on the questions, but if somebody has a burning something that they want to share or something that hit them, you know, during the course of what I was saying, and you feel like, you know, you need to share, please share.
Absolutely. You want to share, ladies and gentlemen, you can unmute yourself by either pressing *6 or unmuting your phone if you have a mute and unmute button. The floor is open if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment.
Hello, Justice. This is John Herman, Justice Herman in Texas.
Hello, John Herman in Texas.
Yes, sir. Hey, no question. And in fact, thank you so much for what you shared tonight. I love your passion. I love how you so wonderfully articulate things, not blowing smoke at you, just thankful. There are a couple of, and not to deviate from the solid biblical teaching that you just did, just in support of it, there are a couple case citations that really speak well to what you have said tonight. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to read those three paragraphs. Would that be okay?
Please do. Thank you.
You're welcome. So in Chisholm v. Georgia, this is 2 U.S. 419 in the year 1793. Sovereignty is the right to govern. A nation or state sovereign is the person or persons in whom that resides. In Europe, the sovereignty is generally ascribed to the prince. Here it rests with the people. There, the sovereign actually administers the government. Here, never in a single instance. Our governors are the agents of the people, and at most stand in the same relation to their sovereign in which regents in Europe stand to their sovereigns. The princes have personal powers, dignities, and preeminences. Our rulers have none but official, nor do they partake in the sovereignty otherwise or in any other capacity than as a private citizen. In Yick Woe v. Hopkins, 118, U.S. 356, at page 370, sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the last one, Julliard v. Greenman, 110 U.S. 421. There is no such thing as power of inherent sovereignty in the government of the United States. In this country, sovereignty resides in the people, and Congress can exercise no power which they have not, by their Constitution entrusted to it, all else withheld. And this sovereignty concept is being spoken about actually quite frequently as of late. Justice Gorsuch has mentioned it many times. He's been traveling around the country speaking about it, has written a book about it. Our president, Donald Trump, has been mentioning sovereignty, and in a great speech he gave at the UN, I think it was the 72nd, I don't know, assembly, whatever it was at the UN. I'm happy to get that link and share it with people. But in that speech, he drove home the point that the people are sovereign in the United States. And we have been indoctrinated to lose our way. They've purposefully taken it out of our language, out of our culture, out of our mindset, out of our value system. But the ethic, which never changes, that's a line and permanently drawn. The morality changes as a result of social pressure, but the ethic has never changed. And that's the fact that this nation founded by God, on God's principles, on His word, as a nation of sovereigns. And we as people need to understand that, as you so brilliantly put it tonight, we so underestimate our power. And the power is us, is within us. And as sovereigns, we are, in effect, as mentioned in these paragraphs that I just read, we are kings and queens. Just as the kings and queens existed in England back in the day, we are all of that and hold every bit as much power within ourselves individually and corporately here in the United States as it was originally founded. We've been led to believe otherwise. We've been tricked, indoctrinated, and you know, it's the media, it's the, you know, the whole educational system, all of that that has been used against us, weaponized against us to, you know, get us to understand that we are some sort of subject of the government when it is exactly opposite of that. And so it was a wonderful message that you gave tonight. I thank you so much for that and just wanted to reinforce what you had said. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I would say anything less than what you just said would be schizophrenia. If we are the sovereign body politic, it is critical that we are one. Because if we're not, we're divided. And if we're divided, the sovereign is schizophrenic. And that would pretty much sum up what we're watching today. We're watching a schizophrenic nation running to and fro, identity crisis. America's the lost, the principle, the PRINCIPAL is lost. Well, we're the ones here on this call, and those like us throughout America that know this. We're not alone. Those of us that know this, we begin to actualize it in prayer and supplications. We actualize it with our head up as we're walking down the street. And we get it. And when we get it and we allow the Holy Spirit to occupy us, the temple, and stop fighting it, and see where that spirit takes us, all things work together for good. And we'll know exactly what to do in the hour when it happens, because we're connected in a covenant. I'll shut up again.
Point of order.
Floor is open. Please state your name and your state, and ask your question or make your statement.
Governor Carpenter, if I could take this kind of full circle. Good evening, David. Thank you for a wonderful presentation tonight. I do appreciate what you bring to the table every evening.
Thank you, Governor.
In the days when we met each other, which was long ago, I was connecting the dots and trying to figure out what this whole picture looked like. And the thing that absolutely cemented my position in this conversation was getting to know one of the gentlemen whose family was at the class action suit led by Judge Roy Schlesinger in behalf of the farmers against the Federal Land Bank Association. And that's become folklore known as NASARA. And that was to give our American people, the sovereign, back their republic. And that was mandated and sealed. Now, I know this firsthand because this man was one of the people at the table. Well, understanding that and finding that out then back in the days when we were getting to know each other, David, I realized that there had to be a government then to transition into, and that the move to wrap a Restore America plan and the Republic was all progression in setting the foundation for our Republic form of government again as this collapse happens. Well, then a few years later, George Bush comes out in the 90s, and he coins the phrase the New World Order. And the New World Order is transhumanism, it is anti-Christian, it is anti-sovereign, it is Chrislam, a blend of all religions, it is anything but what Christianity is and what our biblical foundation of our country is based on. And so it's not a difficult playing field, folks. Either you're in the New World Order camp, if you don't like having men and women of strong faith and leadership, and you think that people without a true moral compass ought to be there because of their book knowledge, then maybe you're in the wrong camp. Or maybe you need to take another look at things and realize that at the end of this conversation, one of two sides is going to win, and I believe what's written in the Bible, and that is that there's going to be a remnant left that is purified, that has the knowledge necessary to carry forward. And I believe with my whole heart that I'm talking to that remnant. Thank you, David. I yield.
The floor is open.
If you'd like to ask a question, you can press your unmute button on your phone, or you can press star 6. Either one should work.
Yes, sir. This is John Herman again. The link to the President Trump's speech at the 72nd session of the United Nations General Assembly for the full video. I posted that link in the leadership thread on Wire. And just with regard to the one quote he made, generations of Americans have sacrificed to maintain the promise of those words, the promise of our country and of our great history. In America, the people govern, the people rule, and the people are sovereign. Thank you so much.
I'd like to book in that with a comment. You know, we'll close the conversation with a prayer, Mark, and I'm going to have you take us out.
Okay.
This idea of the communism and fascism and oligarch and, you know, all of the isms and all of the garkies or whatever, okay? All of those tend toward corruption. So we could label it, but it always ends up in corruption because those governments are of the world and the ruler of this world governs them inside the darkness of a narrative, not truth. And there's a scripture that says when evil rules, the people suffer. And in all of those cases, all of those governments tend toward corruption and darkness. There's only one government. And Yeshua established it. He distinguished it. You know, I shouldn't say he established, because the kingdom of God has always been. It's like Alpha and Omega. You know, it's always been around. Jesus came to reveal it. It's the kingdom that's not of this world. It's the kingdom of God. Thank God it's not of this world, because if it was of this world, it would look like every other government of this world. So no, the kingdom's not of this world. The kingdom's of truth. And then I'll say this, okay, four different attributes of God. God is love, God is light, God is spirit, and God is truth. To say there's no God would be to say there is no light, no love, no spirit, and no truth. That is the most an asinine thing I've ever heard anyone suggest. But it completely explains the paradigm within which we are living right now, and the insanity of it and the darkness of it. So there's one kingdom that is not of this world, and the kingdom is in the world, but we're not of the world, and the kingdom is heaven. The kingdom of God is heaven, and America is that kingdom. So we need to hold on with everything we have and know that our Father is sovereign, and we co-heirs with Christ in that sovereignty. Amen. Mark, take us out. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Creator Yahweh, In Jesus' name, give us spiritual perception for the calling that each and every one of us have. Be with us as we offer the American people a way to restore our original constitutional republic that you and the founding fathers gave, to be kept and guarded. Upon the eyes and ears of every patriot listening, to receive what is shared with a loving heart, as can only be done in a loving, truthful way. Provide us with the provisions we need to stand up our republic from coast to coast. Give the angels missions to break down the strongholds of our adversaries and protect our military, and we the people from harm of all kinds, Father. Strengthen us to be as mighty as the tribes of Israel when you went before them to fight. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father, and amen. Well, good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night, everybody. Powerful call tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good night. Thank you.
God bless.